Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When the coronavirus pandemic hit in 2020, even families who hadn't thought at all about homeschooling were confronted with the realities of remote learning. Many K-12 students did go to school in person for the 2021-2022 academic year, but some did not. In a recent study out of Policy Research in Missouri Education, or PRIME Center, at St. Louis University, shows that the number of homeschooled children in Missouri has nearly doubled since 2020. Joining us to discuss that study, along with other data from parent polling, we have Colin Hitt. Colin is the Executive Director of the Policy Research in Missouri Education Center at St. Louis University. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air, Colin.
Hello.
We also have Amy Shelton, Senior Research Associate and Fellow at St. Louis University's Policy Research in Missouri Education Center. Amy, welcome to you too.
Thanks for having us, Elaine.
We'd like to invite you to the conversation as well. Are you among Missouri families who've decided to homeschool over the last few years? Is homeschooling a route you're entertaining for your children? Or do you have data-related questions for our guests about homeschooling? Tell us what you are thinking and what you're wondering about. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. Now, the center itself has been around since about 2019. And in that time, Colin, you and your colleagues there have looked into a broad range of education topics and issued policy briefs as well. What was it, though, that prompted this particular study?
Well, we're researchers. And, you know, I'd say going back a year ago, we were really just interested in what were the trends around homeschooling. We could all sense that it was up post-pandemic. We knew that the number of kids in Missouri was constant. We knew that public school enrollment was down. But trying to separate whether that was a boom in private school versus homeschool enrollment was something that wasn't easy to do. Mm-hmm. So really, we were just personally interested in that number. That's really what started this whole study, and now we've landed on it. We mm-hmm. think it's 61,000 kids in the state of Missouri homeschooled last year.
Mm-hmm. 61,000.
61,000, mm-hmm. which is two or three times higher than it was pre-pandemic. And we don't see any sign yet that that's going to go back to pre-pandemic levels.
Mm-hmm. And you had characterized it as a quiet but seismic shift. So on that quiet part, why do you call it that?
Well, you know, I guess quiet is partly because there isn't official data. Until mm-hmm. we put out this paper, we didn't really know what that number was. Again, everybody could sense that homeschooling had changed. There were more kids that were doing it, the families that were opting into it, or maybe were doing it for different reasons than other families had in the past. It was all anecdotal, right? But mm-hmm. but looking for hard numbers, you know, was well, that's what we do, right?
Right. And Amy, how is it that you got to those numbers, and what are some of the factors that guided that approach?
So as we looked at the decline in public school enrollment in particular, one big question that came up is this showing us a decline in the school age population in Missouri? And so it was clear from the beginning we had to start with first understanding what is the size of our school age population? Is there a change there? And when looking at census data, we saw some indication of a decline in the first kind of 10 years before the pandemic, but then we've seen this divergence in trends. So the school age mm-hmm. population is increasing over the past 5 years, and public school enrollment has continued to decline. And so this growing gap between school age children and the number enrolled in public schools indicates some growth in the non-public sector. Mm-hmm. And what was unclear to us then was, is this a demand for private schooling or for homeschooling?
Mm-hmm.
And so then to get at the homeschooling piece, we had to look at trends in private school enrollment. Missouri does not collect information about private school enrollment and report that publicly. And so we depend on the National Center for Education Statistics and their estimates of private school enrollment over time. and see a relatively flat trend there. We don't see this clear sign that private school enrollment is going up in the state. And so, again, pointing to an increase in the number of homeschool families and homeschool children in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Colin, among the numbers that you all were able to pull together, were there any that really stood out to you? And if so, why?
You know, I think I would have predicted, at least, that even if homeschooling was at a higher level now than it was, you know, pre-pandemic, that we would have seen some type of return to pre-pandemic trends, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it jumped to like the 6% number, one out of every 16 kids in Missouri homeschooling immediately post-pandemic. And I would have guessed that there would have been, you know, just a bit of, you know, again, a return to that pre-pandemic level, or at least approaching it. We don't see anything like that at all. This post-pandemic bump to date appears to be permanent.
Mm-hmm. How does that compare with other states, Colin?
Well, that's the next question. Is Missouri's one of at least 20 states that don't officially publish authoritative data on homeschooling. Those other states include New York, Illinois, Texas, California. So honestly, we're encouraging Amy to replicate this work throughout the rest of the country, because it's really a one of a kind study.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, why is that? You know, the looseness of registration and tracking historically, like, what is your sense of the reason that exists, not only in Missouri, but in other places, Amy?
It's generally been a push for educational freedom in states that do have homeschooling. And so homeschool families, as they've, you know, had legislators who have advocated for homeschooling, have encouraged families to be able to kind of freely educate their children in the way they see best. So in many states, there is still no requirement to register if mm-hmm. you are homeschooling. And we see, even in states that do require that, however, there is often an undercount. There are still children unaccounted for, if you will, if you look at the total school age population and public school, private school, homeschool enrollment. It seems that not all homeschool children are registered, even in states that do mm-hmm. Encourage that.
Yeah. And Elaine, I'd add, you know, what are our data systems really built for?
Right.
You'd think that a student-level data system was built to just count students and know where they are, but the real reason why most states have them is for the purposes of funding, mm-hmm. right? You know, funding flows to buildings based on the number of kids that are there. And when it comes to private school students and homeschool students, very little, if any, public funding goes to those students. So the data systems that track those students are just not nearly as robust as what we would have for mm-hmm. public schools.
So numbers for numbers' sake of a very particular kind.
Well, it's numbers for money's sake.
Yes. The distribution by area, mm-hmm. urban, suburban, you know, exurban or rural, what is it that you found when it comes to that, Amy?
It's a great question. We are just starting to dig into this kind of regional profile. So we've looked at the whole state of Missouri and tracked these trends over time. And the best that we can do at the regional level is to look at the difference between the school age population and the public school population. We don't have great private school enrollment numbers by region. You know, we know anecdotally, like, there are a lot more private schools in the St. Louis region than mm-hmm. in rural parts of the state. So we can attribute more kind of non-public schooling in St. Louis and Kansas City to private schools than mm-hmm. we can in rural areas. We do see some clear indication of an increase in kind of non-public schooling in the northeast part of the state, mm-hmm. the southwest portion of the state, also even the Kansas City region. St. Louis has consistently had the lowest percent of children enrolled in public schools of all regions of the state. But a lot of that, again, may be due to private schooling. And so we're doing our best to try to disentangle private and homeschooling at the regional level. That's kind of our next area of inquiry here.
Mm-hmm. And as you're mentioning the St. Louis area, something that I'm wondering about too, Colin, is the rate of increase something that you're looking at and wondering about?
For sure. You know, again, the puzzle here is well, it's a puzzle because we don't have great enrollment data on private schools either. So really in our future work, that's going to be a big part of the data detective work that we're going to do at Prime.
Is there anything in the interest of private schools not to release their numbers?
I'm sure they would tell you if you asked them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a matter of who collects that data, what the requirements are, how good that process is, and mm-hmm. getting that data all the way out to the public.
Yeah.
Amy mentioned there's a federal survey called the Private School Universe Survey. A lot of schools participate in that, but not all.
Mm-hmm. Now, to get some sense of what it means to homeschool in real life, both pre-pandemic and post-2020, I spoke with a St. Charles resident named Corey Grizzle. Corey has 10 children, and she and her husband decided to start homeschooling their oldest two kids back in 2007. And Corey said there's been a change in how people respond to that educational route.
So when I first started, it was very skeptical. It was, you know, almost 20 years ago that I started now. And some of my family was skeptical. Some of them were very supportive. My brother also homeschools, and that was after he has kids a little younger than I do. And so it's been positive so far. And I think also having four children that have graduated through high school and are very successful right now, and seeing my high school kids right now being successful and adapted, there's a lot of, wow, that's really great. And, you know, we're kind of normal still. That we still, you know, produce children and produce people for society to be better.
Corey has also noted that her children's learning outside a public or private school setting has been facilitated by how many resources are now available compared to when she and her family began homeschooling, you know, 17 years ago.
St. Charles and really just the area in general, or just the landscape of homeschooling itself, has changed dramatically because of the internet. And not only just the internet, but all of the technology that has come about post-pandemic with Zoom and with, you know, just a lot of remote learning has changed so much. I had opportunities with different homeschool co-ops and learning centers. They were all spread around St. Charles and St. Louis County, so I had a lot of choices of where I could go for extracurriculars and for social time with my kids and me also.
And in the context of what we are discussing today, Amy and Colin, that nearly twofold increase in the number of Missouri children who are homeschooled since 2020, Corey said that she became a source of information and guidance for people thinking differently about schooling options.
When the pandemic first started, I received a lot of phone calls asking for advice and asking, how would you do this and what would you do? And, you know, my biggest concern was, not concern, but I asked the parents that would call me, I said, do you plan to send your children back after this is over? So are you just going to do this for about a year or so? Because they would ask me about curriculum and different things. And I said, you might want to talk to the school about what they are teaching this year so that you can follow that curriculum so you can seamlessly send them back if you wish to send them back. And so that was probably the best advice people said that I had given, because they could choose then, do I want to send them back or do I not?
And that was parent Corey Grizzle, who's a resident of St. Charles. Corey has been homeschooling her family of 10 children since 2007, and we talked last week. Amy, you're nodding your head as you were listening to what Corey was saying. Why is that?
I formerly was a public school teacher, and so I just thought it was interesting that she was helping families think through, is this just a temporary decision for your family? And then, you know, are we staying kind of on track with where the district is if we want to make that seamless transition back? There are a lot of families who thought it would be a short-term decision for their family, though, I think, and decided, wow, this works really well for my children and for our family, and decided to stay with it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the point that any sort of data that you collect is going to be a snapshot of a particular time, not necessarily what is going to continue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colin, Corey talked about educational resources. Is that principally how homeschooling has changed?
Well, I think in order to see a doubling or a tripling in the number of kids who are homeschooling, a lot of things have to have changed. And one of those is certainly educational technology. But, you know, I don't think there was a huge boom in that during the pandemic. You've seen kind of a consistent but steady increase in resources available. I think there were some other big things that happened, and one of them was what Amy just mentioned, is a lot of parents who never really would have considered this suddenly got a taste for homeschooling during the pandemic, and some of them decided to stick with it.
Right. What is it that is known about families who choose to homeschool, Colin?
Well, this is going to be one of the most interesting topics for education research and education reporting over the next 10 to 15 years. You know, 61,000 kids in Missouri is equivalent to the public school district and charter school enrollment in St. Louis and Kansas City combined, right? It's a lot of kids. And so, you know, knowing exactly what homeschooling looks like, what strategies are being adopted, what that means in terms of academic outcomes, it's going to be a huge and wide open opportunity for education researchers, thank goodness, and education reporters over the next generation.
Amy, what is it that parent polling says? You shared some numbers with me. What does it say or maybe suggest about that who question?
Right. So our most recent parent poll in Missouri asked about schooling modalities or types of schooling used by families in the state. And we see that families who are homeschooling are slightly more likely to be white families. So about 81% of homeschool families are white compared to 70% of school-age kids are white. 79% would say religion is very or somewhat important to them. 64% identify as conservative or very conservative, but 35% identify as moderate or liberal. So this will be interesting to track over time to see if there's a change in the types of families that are exploring and taking up homeschooling in our state.
One of the things that Corey Grizzle had said to me, again, this is the parent who has been homeschooling since 2007, and she does identify very strongly with her Catholic faith and does some pod activities with other mothers and families. And she had said that there's quite a bit of political and religious diversity among the families that she knows who are homeschooling. And there have also been, in the last couple of years, reports out from, you know, the likes of Washington Post about homeschooling and how maybe it is not what people thought it was before. What is it that you think people maybe get wrong about who homeschooling families are, Amy?
That's a great question, and I think we are encouraging continued research on this to make sure that we really are explaining correctly the diversity of the kind of homeschool experience. But the parent that you interviewed mentioned how many more resources there are today for homeschool families in terms of access to things through the internet, pods and micro schooling, kind of hybrid forms of schooling that came up during the pandemic as well. And so there are so many different creative forms that this takes, and that looks different community to community.
Colin, I want to get back to something that you had said about money and the reason things are tracked in a particular way. Why is it important to understand homeschooling, how many families are doing it, particularly when it comes to this question of funding, where it comes from, who's providing it?
So, you know, first of all, why it's important. There's 1 million school-age kids in Missouri. And if you're going to be talking about all 1 million of those kids, you've got to be talking about that 61,000 that's homeschooling now. You just can't paint a complete picture without talking about that. You know, on the question of money, there's lots of questions like, is this going to lead to less money or more money for area public schools? Again, like the number of taxpayers in Missouri, you know, is steady over time, and but we're seeing fewer kids per capita go into public schools. So that means that there shouldn't be a decrease in available resources for public schools per se. There's other questions of, you know, is there public support? Is there taxpayer support for homeschoolers? There's some, although there's certainly division in the homeschooling community over, you know, whether parents should actually be seeking those out.
Right. And there is a program that does offer some support
Missouri has something called the Most Scholars Program, where mm-hmm. parents can receive or set up an education savings account to help pay for things like private school tuition or tutoring or other educational tools. And homeschool families are eligible to participate in that program. Journalistic accounts of what the real homeschool enrollments are in that program suggest that they are very, very low. And so in terms of whether or not that drives this trend, this increase we're seeing in homeschooling in Missouri, it almost certainly not.
Mm-hmm. Corey Grizzle had also talked with me about flexibility and freedom as the principal reasons she and her family have embraced homeschooling. And on the note about freedom, and as we're talking about money, I also asked her about the economics of homeschooling versus private school, partly because she has a very large family. But sort of in the bigger picture of things, where does homeschooling fit into debates about education choice? Amy, is that something that you can speak to a little bit?
That's a great question. Well, a lot of the kind of push for education choice nationally has been these private school choice programs and kind of dollars following children to private schools if a family makes that switch. So it will be interesting to see if this growing contingent of homeschool families becomes more a part of that conversation nationwide.
Mm-hmm. How much qualitative research is there out there? Because we're talking about the quantitative part.
Right.
To put a plug in for some other universities, you know, there's fascinating work coming out of North Carolina State University right now looking at the homeschooling experience of Hispanic and Latinx families, which is entirely new in the research, believe it or not. But honestly, this is even beyond what we would call research and journalistic accounts like the family that you reached earlier. That's mm-hmm. going to be really interesting to hear and learn as well, because there's only so much your big data sets can capture.
Mm-hmm. And as we close here, Amy, you are someone who has had the experience of being a homeschooled
yes.
student. Is there a qualitative question that you would love to ask, sort of based on what you know from your experience and all of the quantitative data that you've seen?
Right. Well, I think one of the concerns that is expressed are kids prepared for kind of further outcomes in life, you know, for college and career? I found in my own experience that being homeschooled and having a lot of autonomy and being a self-directed learner set me up so well for college and for graduate school. And so I think that is an important part of the story to tell. Now that we have homeschool families who've been doing this for 20 years and can say, like, this is where my children went on, this is what they're doing in life now, I think that helps to put people at ease about homeschooling.
Yeah. Amy Shelton is Senior Research Associate and Fellow at the Policy Research and Education Center at St. Louis University, and Colin Head is the St. Louis University Policy Research and Education Center's Executive Director. Colin and Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.